And good morning. Welcome to IDK Politics on Friday, the 15th of March. And I would like to welcome my very special guests today. So we have Kira and Alice. Kira, would you like to say a few things about yourself?
Sure. I'm Kira. I'm a second year Gov Pol student and I suppose one of Caitlin's friends.
Yes. And Alice?
And I'm Alice. I'm also a second year Gov Pol student. I'm also, I gotta plug it, secretary of the Gov Pol Society, who have their own politics radio show that we were all just on during the week.
Crossover.
Crossover episode, maybe.
Yes, it was a very good show, I will say that.
Caitlin.
It was,
Kira's first time on the radio.
Yes, it was, Kira's first time and she did amazing. So if anyone wants to listen to that, please check out the UCC 98.3 FM on Spotify, where you can find the episode and find our great discussion on the referendum. But before we get into any politics today, I want to play another song. So this is Above the Clouds of Pompeii, and then we'll get into some politics. Okay, see you in a second. And we are back. So to start today's show, we're going to talk about something of what is 2024 is encompassed, which is the year of elections. So surprisingly, it's Russian elections this weekend.
Wow, I wonder who's going to win that one.
Who's going to win the most democratic elections in the free world? So the elections are happening the 15th to the 17th of March, and they're the presidential elections in Russia. So Putin is running against four other people.
Shocker.
Yeah, I wonder who's going to win. Like, place bets, guys?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, some candidates have been dying off.
Yeah, a lot of them barred for various crimes. And yeah, no, it's not looking great. Putin's hoping to use his candidacy and his election campaign to indicate the support from the Russian public on the invasion of Ukraine. If he wins, he'll be president until 2030, which is, how old will we be? Too old?
What year is it now?
6 years time.
Yeah.
26, 27?
God, imagine Putin. We're nearly 30 by the time and he's still in office. He will have the longest run than few of the most major historical figures in Russia, which is an incredibly successful thing for anyone but Putin. Early voting has occurred in occupied territories of Ukraine in pop-up voting stations in the back of cars. So yeah, this is the most democratic election we're ever going to hear.
He's letting the country he's invaded vote in his election.
Yeah, or the occupied territories.
So kind.
How kind.
So considerate.
I would recommend any person to like look up the pictures of these polling stations, because it's just like one person in like a Russian flag badge with this like clear box just standing by a car with armed guard.
And are people like actually attending? Or people?
There was votes in the box.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's going to be a good turn. Like, I wonder what the average turnout for
these kind of elections are.
I'd love to see the actual results of it, like just to wonder, like, do the other people even get considered, or is it just all actually Putin winning? So yeah, that's the election of the week, and it is not democratic at all, for what I've been saying earlier. To move on from Russia, though, it is an interesting topic. We have the Irish American situation at the moment. The Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, has gone over to the United States for the St. Patrick's Day celebrations, though most of the public are against it. So we have the Irish Fund Gala during the week, which Varadkar attended along with the First Minister of Northern Ireland, Miss O'Neill, and the Deputy First Minister, Lit Penny. Taoiseach wants to mention to Biden the topics of Northern Ireland, Gaza, Ukraine, and the economy in his discussions for the weekend. So it is interesting that Northern Ireland got onto the slate. I don't know if you have anything to say about it.
I don't know. I feel like for a government that have been so highly kind of criticized in the results coming out of the referendum, they really are not doing well with their public image by pushing this whole attending the St. Paddy's Day celebrations, especially when like the people of Ireland are so heavily against it.
I feel like they're very hot and cold these days. Like, one minute they're saying one thing and that they'll try and talk to Biden, but they're not going to pressure him to talk about it. And now they're saying they are going to talk about it.
They're not really in a position to even pressure Biden in any way. Like, what hold do we have over them, really, to pressure him? Like, it's just more of a please consider peace kind of talk. Like, we don't have the power. Making a statement would be not attending at all.
No, exactly. Like, what was it? The Irish bands pulling out.
Yeah, all the Irish bands who pulled out of the SW.
South by Southwest.
Yeah, whatever
festival,
it is.
Yeah.
Festival in Austin.
It's really interesting. Bradcor did make a strong speech at this gala, which I think is the only strong stand we're going to see all weekend.
What did he say?
He was like, they want to end the conflict and bring peace to the Holy Lands, and we have to view, as we're both European and Irish, that we also have like reasons that these conflicts have occurred. He was really stating that, like, we should do more, but, like, what is he doing to do anything?
Yeah, what has he done?
I think he was saying as well that they, like, stand with Ukraine in its defence of freedom and democracy, and that Europe and the US have responsibility to help end what he called, I think it was injustice in the Middle East. But I think they raised, like, $1.2 million.
Yeah, they do raise a lot of money.
Wow.
And it goes towards Irish communities at home and abroad. So it is quite effective in their campaigning.
The cause of the gala is important, but it's just like, what is Radker doing? Like, his speech is all well and good.
It's the same speech, like, not every time, but like, they're talking about the same things, but it's like more talk and not much action.
Is it revolutionary to say we want peace and that we support Ukraine and we want peace in Gaza? Like, is that exactly radical? Like, no.
All talk, no action.
Exactly.
The gala also brought in the first and deputy minister of Northern Ireland since Stormont has gone back into power, with them both explaining that Northern Ireland is open for business, especially for American investors. So it is interesting to see how Northern Ireland, after just immediately coming into power, that they're already hitting up the world's platform, especially in the US.
I suppose it's a new area, having Sinn Féin leading in Northern Ireland. Yeah. We'll have to see where they go.
They did. Yeah. I did love this statement. They said it was the Good Friday Agreement personified. I love a good soundbite, and that was one.
Fair.
Yeah. It's really interesting, but I do believe also that him going over is more of a him like falling to not wanting to push any buttons.
Yeah, if anything,
he's just trying to show face.
If anything, I feel like the Northern Irish leaders have more reason to go over than he does. Like, this is the first time they've established power. They're trying to establish themselves as a democracy and get out on the world stage. Whereas Radker, they do this every year. Like, we'll be invited back next year because we'll have a government next year. Will Northern Ireland, like, their stability can be questioned. So it's kind of important for them to take these opportunities. Not that I particularly agree with them all attending, but I don't know, I feel like there's more of a reasoning for them to go than anyone else.
That's a really good point.
Yep.
Well done. That's a really good point. Friday morning and Alice is coming out with the big hitters.
She's on the ball today.
Yeah.
Just woke up and all.
Kira, you have a story you want to mention, and I thought it was very interesting because I did not see it.
Yeah, so as we know, Limerick is going to be the first, what would you say, county constituency?
County?
County, yeah, county, to be able to vote for a directly elected mayor. And so Fianna Fáil have elected their mayoral candidate, and her name is Dee Ryan, and she's a former CEO of Limerick Chambers of Commerce. What else? Oh, yeah. So she responded to some media reports where she's been critical of both Fianna Fáil and of party leader Micheál Martin in her social media posts in the past. Because I think previously, before she was Fianna Fáil, I think she was Fine Gael. And before that, Labour. So
she's done it all.
She's been everywhere.
She knows she's everyone been around in all these parties. So at this
point. So she's recently, when she was in Fine Gael, she had previously described Micheál Martin as not a leader, and posted comments criticising her new party on social media. This is obviously before she joined.
Mm-hmm.
She also tweeted from the Fine Gael Ard Heis in January 2016, including a post quoting Simon Harris saying that Fianna Fáil royally failed the Irish people. She said that she's unafraid to speak her mind, but added that her views had evolved and that in her opinion of Mr. Martin and Fianna Fáil, they could not be more positive now since she's been joined the party.
Yeah.
That was a quick switch up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would question, why did Fianna Fáil even pick her as their candidate when they know this is going to come out in the media, all her past comments? Surely they do their research into their candidates when they're picking someone who's most likely to win.
That or they the worst press secretary.
Do they have like no other better options, is it? Like, do they have no one in the party?
I actually don't know, because there is a few candidates in there, but I really don't know how they came to the decision of...
Yeah, a lot of these things are discussed and like decided behind closed doors. So I wonder like what went on there to
especially like
lead her to this,
a person who hasn't always been in Fianna Fáil as well.
It's just not really a good look.
No, and like obviously this is all going to be resurfaced again, like,
yeah,
you know, her now being one of the candidates for the mayoral election. Mm-hmm. Like everything's going to come back up and just
exactly. And Fianna Fáil just seem to have lately so much drama in regards to their, you know, representatives not actually, you know, being in line with their party, like Lisa Chambers with the
referendum
coming out against the party, and now this, all the comments about Fianna Fáil. Like, if the representation within Fianna Fáil is already critical of Fianna Fáil, can people actually, how are they expected to trust them and vote for them?
Exactly. And especially since like Micheál, like she obviously dragged Micheál Martin through the mud there in 2016. Like,
that's not that long ago.
No,
like,
it really isn't. And like, I don't know how. He must have great forgiveness.
Yeah.
I like, would be taking that.
That must be awkward meeting when the two of them get together. Like,
yeah. I think she was a big fan of Leo Varadkar and Enda Kenny when he was in office.
And I feel like if you're big fans of them, how are you a big fan of Micheál Martin? Because like traditionally it's been so, each argument is so one-sided. Like if you're a Fianna Gael, you're very against Fianna Fáil and vice versa.
No, maybe it's the coalition.
Civil War politics.
So for those who don't know, directly elected mayor will be part of the Limerick County and City Council?
Yeah.
Yeah. And will be head of such body. In Cork, we have, it's a figurative role, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. So in Limerick, they'll bring in an elected one voted in by the people of Limerick.
The only one that voted.
They voted no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What?
What? No, Limerick hasn't.
They voted. I'm on about Cork, sorry. Oh no, I was on about Cork.
Limerick have it. Dublin currently, recently had a citizens' assembly on the matter.
Mm-hmm.
And Cork.
Waterford rejected it.
Waterford rejected it. Cork rejected
when
it.
When you said we, I'm just like, yeah, Cork.
Yeah.
No, I'm a Limerick girly tart.
I forget that. I forgive that sometimes. I ignore that.
So they'll take up a function that's a bit more strenuous, a bit more policy, a bit more legislative compared to the figurative role we have in Cork, and is interesting because it has been implemented for many years in the UK but failed. It has been taken out in Leeds and other major UK. Yes, exactly. I was like, I can't remember if it was Bristol or Brighton.
Oh, yes. Bristol.
It was a Bristol.
Never mind.
We did an essay on this last year.
That's a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. But yeah, no, it'd be interesting, especially see if it lasts, because not to say Limerick's an odd choice to have it, but
yeah, it's kind of unexpected.
Yeah, no.
I know, I'm excited. I'm excited to see how it goes.
Definitely.
Candidates to vote.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's
exciting. It's a historic event.
I mean, the mayor in Cork at the moment, it's just a shake hands, do visits,
it's
meet people
kind of
role. It's symbolic, yeah.
Yeah. It's extremely symbolic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the one for the county too. That's a symbolic role.
It's
so
just the same.
It will be interesting to see if the dynamics in Limerick County Council change.
It's going to be an experiment anyway.
Yeah. I think it will definitely alter things. It'll be interesting.
Mm. Yeah. And do you know what? I think it could work.
Yeah. I think if it's done right, it can work.
I think it will work. Hopefully.
I mean, it's done in other countries. I know it's failed in the UK, but it's not a like foreign concept.
Yeah.
No.
Especially because Limerick is small enough.
Yeah, it'll be a good trial run. See if it can work there so we can implement it in like a real city like Cork.
Wow. Alice throwing hands in IDK politics.
Getting controversial on here.
So with that, before we continue, I'm going to play a few songs before these two start fighting. So this is Ode to a Conversation Stuck in Your Throat by Del Walker. And we're back. So that was Hozier with, can I remember what song played? Damage Gets Done and Ode to Conversation Stuck
in
Your Throat.
You love a bit of Hozier, don't you?
I actually do.
I'm a fiend. I love Hozier, my favourite artist. that's why I had someone else co-make this playlist, because if I didn't, it would have just been all Hozier. Like, there's an album coming out next Friday and I'm waiting for it. Like, so before, just to continue, there's a really interesting topic which Kira brought to my attention because I did not see this. So she is on a ball telling me what's happening because I'm so behind. Women in Denmark are to be conscripted for military service for the first time under a proposal, proposed arms force overhaul that comes amid European worsening relations with Russia and the war in Ukraine. Their prime minister has stated they want to conscript over 5,000 women by the year 2024 and 2033, as she wants to make it equality between in the
sexes,
of sexes in conscription. So I don't know about you, but that seems just a bit, I don't know. I like the idea of equality, but I don't know. Conscription also scares me.
I don't think conscription really exactly is equality. I'm like, forcing people to go to war doesn't exactly feel...
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think there's going to be a lot of Danish women coming back to Ireland since they're allowed to stay in the home now after that referendum.
Imagine the carnage here if they tried to make women conscript here. Oh my God.
To be fair, it sounds a lot bigger than it is, because a lot of people going into the army in Denmark are doing it voluntarily.
Yeah, it
so
is a volunteer.
They don't need that many... like people in service. Like, I think it's a lottery based thing where, like, you know, you pick them out of a hat, and
yeah,
so I think it's only like very few like people get picked to actually go into,
yeah, like 5,000 out of the whole population. I don't know what the Danish population is, but it's quite big, and like 5,000 is like barely a percentile, I would presume.
And do they want to conscript them in case of war, or are they going to conscript them into the army now?
I think the whole thing going on between Russia and Ukraine has just like shaken up, like,
yeah, so
every
if they
country.
Get involved, people are going to be conscripted, or are they getting like,
well,
remember,
Danish people already get, Danish men get conscripted now for us for a length of 4 months, and they're wanting to actually increase that to 11 months.
4 months isn't a lot.
No, but compared to like other countries, which
like,
is 2 years.
Like, obviously women can volunteer themselves to go in, but obviously I think they have like, is it 6 months training before?
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have training before they go in. They're not going to send
they
them
can't
out to
battle. Yeah. Untrained.
It is. And then I've just had a statistic about 4,700 people did military service last year, women only on a voluntary basis and usually for 4 months. So it was nearly 5,000 people did military service last year, and like, women did volunteer. So it is just the option to see who will be forced to do it.
Yeah, I mean, look, like, not every man wants to be in the army.
No.
You know,
yeah, you can sit here and debate the whole idea of conscription in the first place.
Yeah.
I suppose it's like...
You saw the French backlash on it a few years ago. I don't know if you remember it, but like, the French went absolutely berserk over the idea of re-bringing in conscription. It was for a 2-year basis and it was before college. Mm. And the French absolutely, like, it was the same carnage of like burnings in Paris. And
the French love a protest.
The French do love a protest, but this was like absolutely crazy. And they did, the government stepped down from the proposal. But yeah, I don't know. I don't believe the Danish will step up and fight it, though.
I can't see it going too far at all.
Yeah, I can't see it going through. It just feels...
And, like, how would they even do it? Are they going to do 50-50 between...
It also, it just feels undemocratic. And I'm not even just saying because it's women. I feel just, like, the whole idea of conscription now in this, like, modern world feels like the government gets to do and say whatever they want with people's lives without their input.
Yeah, I think that as conscription as a whole... Not just like,
yeah, not just for women. Yeah, I'm against it for men and women.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was like, we do not rearm because we want war. We are rearming because we want to void it. The Prime Minister, Mette.
Stronger in numbers, lads.
Stronger in numbers. That is literally it.
And I feel like, is there not other methods to try promote peace rather than increasing your military power? I know, obviously, you have to be able to defend yourself, but using military as a deterrent is almost antagonizing more than it is a means of peace.
Yeah, and there's certain members of the Department of Defense in Denmark that are saying it is a historically old idea and that remodeling would probably be the best way to protect Denmark in this case of European aggression.
Yeah, like yeah. the buildup of power doesn't go too well. Like we see it in the Cold War with the nuclear arms crisis, like everyone fighting to be the most powerful just creates tension and danger for people, really.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're just like startled by everything that's going on.
Yeah, they're scared, which is fair.
Yeah, and they're closer to it than we are.
Yeah, they're trying to like do everything in their power to protect their country, even though I think they're safe enough at the moment, like
I guess if we can't, we are a neutral country, but would you join the army if you had to run conscription?
I would love to join the army.
Really?
Would you actually?
I when I was a child I wanted to be in the army.
I want to be in the navy. I was dead set on it before college.
Yeah. I would not thrive in the navy or the army.
I think Alice will leave you on land. It's okay.
Can I be at the base, like making decisions the or nurse. Something? Yeah. Yeah, looking after people or just something like that.
I think it's a great way to like go out, get a bit of discipline, and just see.
That's how true. I feel about it too. I'm like, it's a free workout, lads.
I'm exactly. Come back fitting.
Yeah,
but that's a good point.
I think army green would suit you, Kira.
Thanks.
Yeah,
it would.
Slick back bun.
Ooh, yeah. Nice. Yeah, slick back bun doesn't work for me, so I don't think I could join.
Yeah, fair.
That's what's going to be in the thing to like disqualify you from conscription.
Sorry,
Alice.
That hairstyle does not suit me. Can't inscript. Sorry.
I think not everybody, but like if you can, I think you should go into the army for at least like a few months or like a training kind of thing. I just think it's just a great way to...
I think that's what discredits most people from joining is the enforced, like, however long period is it? 5 years? There's a long period
that's
you
a
must
long time.
Maintain. It's a contract. So I think that's what stops people doing it
and
majority.
And I suppose the safety of women in, I don't know about in armies abroad, but definitely in the Irish army, you know, with sexual harassment, it's like very high for women in the army and in the navy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was a good few cases a few years back about it. And it is true. So until reform, I don't think it's the most viable option.
Yeah, that's what I wonder as well about conscripting women in to the Danish army. Like a lot of these women are being put in positions of danger in an all like men environment.
And it's 18 and over, isn't it?
Sure. I would assume so.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Of course. Yeah. I would hope.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah. No, let's send this 14-year-old to war. On from conscription, I am talking about, let's talk about a topic that kind of concerns a lot of people. It is the US ban on TikTok. The House of Representatives, or their version of our doll, has passed a legislation on banning TikTok if TikTok don't sell, if the owners of TikTok don't sell their like shares of TikTok. The Chinese owners of TikTok don't sell their shares to like US companies. So it has passed the House and is now going to the Senate. And many people have said it opposes the principle of fair trade competition and international trade laws, and there is no fairness in this case. So the American government are claiming it on trade, but a lot of people are saying they fear the use of American data being sold to the Chinese government. So it is interesting. Alice, you said that one of the major congressmen, Jeff Jackson, was actually voted for it.
Yes. So Jeff Jackson, for people who don't know, is it South Carolina? Or
yes.
South Carolina. And he is a Democrat and he is massive on TikTok. He has about 2.4 million followers. He's built most of his political career on TikTok. He does actually very good videos. He sits down, explains what's going on in very simple terms for everyone to understand. And he's been massively pro-TikTok before, but he actually voted to have enforce the TikTok ban if they don't sell. People are shocked online. There is a lot of backlash over it. People are saying, you know, criticizing him for having used TikTok to build his career and now he's voting to ban it.
Did he give a reason?
He hasn't come out yet as far as I've seen. He might come out in the next few hours,
I
suppose.
He might come out on his TikTok and say it.
Yeah.
He will put out a video on his TikTok.
I ironically watch him on Instagram, but like, yeah, he's built his whole platform on social media because he's been kicked out of his own constituency due to what I'd call gerrymandering, redrawing of constituency lines so that it would favour a Republican candidate. But so he's going for Secretary General. No, what's
Attorney General.
My apologies.
We forgive you.
Thank you. His whole campaign is based off his online forum. So the fact that he wants to dissolve his only public forum is like insanity.
And that's 2.4 million followers gone, 2.4 million supporters gone.
A second source of income gone.
He's really messing with his support, because a lot of his support is coming from TikTok. So if he wants to continue his political career, it would have been in his best interest to vote to keep TikTok.
And I feel like his TikTok following as well, because like they're quite young.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and they're the people that
are coming up in the next few years as voters.
He's going to need to try and keep them
maintain them.
As long as possible.
The voting divide is crazy, guys. It is 352 Congress members voted in favour to 65 that voted against.
It's
of the ban.
Very
of
jarring. The ban. It feels very American in
that
a way.
I think the biggest divide I've seen since like major pop legislation since last year. Nothing's been this divided in a long time.
I'm not 100% sure. I can't speak on why Republicans are voting against it. Obviously, in my own opinion, I feel it's kind of just a racist agenda, to be honest. But a lot of the Democrats have used the excuse saying we don't want the Chinese government getting, you know, information of US citizens. But you also kind of have to note that all big companies like Apple and Meta, they're selling data as well. But it's okay to congressmen and women when they're selling the data to the US government, but it's not okay when it's being sold to the Chinese government. Yeah. I'm like, your people's data is being defiled on every social media platform. And when it's then a Chinese owner, it's deemed not okay.
Yeah, no, it is crazy.
It just feels kind of...
They already have a lot of information on us.
Everyone has information on us. Everyone. No one's private anymore.
And genuinely, like, they don't have a whole lot, because, like, what do they have? Our PPS number. I don't care. What are you going to do with my PPS number? Like,
what are you going to do about it?
You want to claim my dentist?
Yeah, go. Do you want to take over, like, my loans, my debt, or just anything? I don't have a lot of money in the bank. Like, there's not much you're getting from me.
We're both college students. You'll be able to access my results. Yeah. Like,
oh God, please just don't publicize them.
Yeah,
I'd be too embarrassed.
It's not like I tell people anyway.
Don't tell my mom what I've gotten her.
No, and it comes in a wave of major reform or major outcry by governments to social media platforms, mm-hmm. as we saw with the EU last week. Major reforms on apps on companies such as Apple and Google and other major platforms that actually have a lot of home in Ireland on their legislation and what they're allowed to do. So Apple now can't just make people buy from the Apple store. They have to let them purchase items from like the Google store and other ones. There's a great video by the Washington Post, which I for once will actually put on the Instagram, because it sums it up perfectly and it's very entertaining. But it is interesting to see what else governments will do against social media platforms.
The US just has a massive fear of foreign interference from like China and Russia, and like them trying to control who the owner of TikTok is like undemocratic.
I wonder would they buy it? Because if they want to sell the shares,
will the government buy it?
Well, people associated with the government.
People have so much free time after TikTok is banned, though.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, maybe we should. Lad, we saw the referendum turned out because of TikTok. Well,
lead to the collapse of TikTok, honestly, because so many content creators are from America, and if it's banned, like, What is there going to be watch? I'm not watching the crazy far right in Ireland on TikTok.
I'm not watching
those videos. I'm not watching the Irish mammy videos. I don't want to see it. Like,
yeah, no, it is interesting.
Well, I suppose that's like thousands of people's income gone then.
Completely.
People built like a living off TikTok.
Yeah.
Everyone go back to YouTube, I guess.
It'll be interesting to see if it passes in the Senate. Will the owners be forced to sell, or will they like hold down and be like, no,
we'll let you ban it?
Yeah It's kind of a like who will play hard to get more, like who's
I suppose it depends on their statistics as well.
I suppose it depends on the breakdown of like how much money they're making on the US market.
And they do make, they're obviously
like
a ton.
I would say it's their main market.
I wonder, will they hardball?
Mm-hmm. It's really funny because the Democrats do have a TikTok account.
Yeah, they do.
I know, dudes, what are you doing?
I know AOC voted to keep TikTok.
I'm not surprising, because she also uses TikTok as a
platform. Yeah, and that's why she came out and says she uses it, and she just doesn't believe that it's the right way to go about protecting data. Like, I mean, if you really are concerned about protecting data, make laws that protect the data. Don't just force the sale to an American owner, because then it's American owners taking advantage of the data. It just seems illogical.
It will be interesting, because I don't want to say the Senate's a bunch of old white men, but like, the Senate's a bunch of old white men and they don't know what TikTok
pale
is.
Pale, stale, and what's that?
Oh, what was that amazing quote?
Pale stale, and you know the one from the European Parliament?
No, I do not.
Oh, I can't remember that quote, but if someone finds it in one of the past episodes,
well,
please.
It applies to most governments.
Yeah, anyways, it is the best quote ever, I think, and it was used to used to describe
pale stale and male.
Oh yes, thank you, Kira.
You're welcome. At the end, we forgot. Yeah. I was going to say ale. I was like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, just beer. but yeah, no, it is interesting, and I have seen so many content creators come out against it, especially with the reform saying that most platforms are going to disallow political content. That it's actually like major political. Well, I've watched political media, so a load of political
shocking.
Medias.
Shocking.
Major political media sources are coming out going like, save our platform, because it's the only way they're getting their voice out.
It just feels a bit undemocratic again to not allow political media out there. Where are you going to get your information? Do we have to get all our information from the government?
Yeah.
Because that seems...
6 o'clock news.
That seems a bit rigged.
Sorry, I just had a thought. I was like, were you on with me that week, or was it there, lad, that we Which had week? The CEO of... We discussed the CEO of TikTok. Because he was grilled Congress for 5 hours.
And the clips that come out of it are just a
joke. It's insane. So
it's just
look at that like interrogation.
Oh my God, so
along with this bill, you're looking at a bill that's just against Chinese.
He lives in Singapore. He is from
Singaporean.
Yeah. He has nothing to do with China.
Are you a member of the Singaporean party, sir?
He was grilled about being linked to the Chinese Communist Party, and the only thing he has in common with them is he's from Asia.
Yeah, really? It's offensive. Not Asian people are the same, coming from an Asian person.
Yeah, like, it's just crazy.
They asked him like 10 times if he was a member of the Congress, Chinese Communist Party.
And you could tell as well, a lot of the people grilling him had done...
No reason. Zero
research on what TikTok actually did as a functioning app. Like, they could have gotten on the app, scroll for 5 minutes to work out how to use the app before going in. Like, it was just
no, because they
crazy.
Probably would have ended up posting something. I don't know.
They would have got addicted.
Yeah.
The rest of us.
That's their fear. So we have one more story I just want to mention before we end today's show. So I don't know if anyone listened to last week's show or the Spotify recording, it was the snap election in Portugal last week, with their prime minister stepping down to allegations of corruption with environmental money. So it was very interesting. If anyone wants to read about it, it's very long history, very complex, and is quite jarring. But the winners of the party are what we anticipated, the rise of the far right in Portugal, with the Portugal Centre-Right Democratic Alliance, AD, obtaining 79 seats in Parliament, they can elect the new Prime Minister. And the old party, the Centre-Left Socialist, getting 77 seats. That's extremely tight. A two-seat difference. But the crazy thing about this election is the rise of a third party. Portugal has been historically a two-party state. Now we got three parties with, I'm going to butcher this, Chenga, any of you do Spanish?
I did,
C-H-E-G-A.
But I'm not good at it, so I wouldn't even
know.
Probably Chenga.
Chenga? I did French, this is not helping.
I'll butcher it even more, so I won't try.
Okay, it's Portuguese anyways, for enough. It's an anti-establishment party that aspires to change the establishment or political order. Members of the far-right party, which only 5 years ago had no significant impact on the national politics in Portugal, have hoped for the kind of election results that would make their leader, make a real political leader out of him. It seems to be just a one-party, like, one-person party. Their leader seems to be the only main contestant.
Really?
There's no one else, really. But they won, if I can find it, 48 seats.
Oh, wow.
They had 12 5 years ago.
What kind of electoral system do Portugal use?
I did not have time to Google this, but I presume it's F.
I'm wondering, since it's consistently
this
been
is
a two-party
live research,
state,
guys.
If it's always been a two-party state, then having a third party come in and win so many seats is a massive
show
of how unhappy people are in Portugal.
It's really interesting, too, because their election isn't over yet. There is still, is it like 5 seats that the Portuguese voting abroad can vote in?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
So they don't vote in the constituency they're from. It's they vote in just like 5 seats for abroad representation.
Yes. I don't know.
That's quite interesting.
Yeah, it was really interesting. It was something I found very like different. But yeah, it is really interesting to see that a third party has come up in power since the financial crash when the socialists took over. So this far-right party is the first time they've been in power since the fall of government in 08, after the Portuguese got hammered by the bailouts. And it was only till recently that their economic structure kind of regained. They are, their deficit's lower, their inflation's been stabilised, there was a few other things. But their political structure was finally looking good, and now people fear that the far right will come in, that everything's going to be abolished, especially they're fearing the abolishment of their abortion bill that was historically put through a few years ago. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this turns out, along with every other country that's gaining a far right majority.
Which is majority of countries at the moment.
Yeah, scary.
Populism.
Do you find it?
It's PR, I think.
Oh, PRCD.
Okay.
That's really interesting.
And then they've always had a two-party state. That's very interesting.
That's so interesting.
I think now.
That's usually not the way.
I can go into depth.
Here's the first thing you see. For everybody who's listening, go research.
Go research. This is my homework. Yeah,
not look it up on TikTok.
And don't look it up on TikTok. So we have a few minutes left. Does anyone bring up any other thing that they've seen in the news? It doesn't have to be political. Does anyone have any recommendations? And I wanted to do this on my show a lot, but like I run out of time.
Recommendations.
Yeah.
Of like
anything, movies, songs. People just think I talk politics. I'm like, we're also human. Songs.
Do I have any other interests other than politics?
Oh, Cillian Murphy won.
Yeah, yes. Oh my god.
Yes. Cillian Murphy.
Yes. Cillian Murphy won the Oscar.
Cork won the Oscar.
Man, yeah. Yeah. UCC.
Yeah.
Alum.
Yeah, he did 1 year of law.
Yeah, actually you can't really call him alum.
He can't. Yeah, he's an alumni.
He didn't graduate. He walked the path.
Yeah. He probably sat in
this
the pool.
I think was at UCC is where he started getting into drama. Wasn't he in a play here?
I'm not sure. That's cool. I just know that he is the most beautiful.
He was in the UCC Drama Club, I'm pretty sure.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you want to win an Oscar someday, join
UCC
Drama Society. Yeah.
No.
I don't think there's anything else really.
No, I saw a post that was like, when an Oscar winner's also been in a brogue.
I saw that and I kind of love that.
Yeah. Or it was like, yeah, there's a few more about like Cork pubs. But yeah, it is. I felt like there'd be a bit of a more of a like celebration, but
yeah.
Yeah, no. Well done, Cillian Murphy, if you're listening. He's definitely not, but if he is, well
big
done.
Big step for Ireland.
He's going to text you after.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
He has a wife, guys.
I know.
Oh, I was like, he can come on the show. Like, what's your political view, sir? Perfect. So with that, I might call it a day. Thank you so much for listening. Oh, I nearly forgot my one job I had to do.
What?
I have been asked by
International Development.
The International Development course that one of my dear friends, she is in it. She has asked me to say, can people go follow the Instagram? As it is really important because follow their Instagram and follow their campaign because it's really important because UCC was trying to cancel the course.
It's the only one of its kind in Ireland.
It's very important for politics, for human
it's internet. It's a great course They do a variety of different
things. Honestly, I do GovPol, but if I had another choice, I definitely would do the International Development course. So if anyone hasn't already followed them, please go follow their Instagram. I will put it in the caption of today's Spotify recording.
It's at UCC Intdev, Intdev.
Thank you, Kira.
No bother.
Best goals. So I yes.
Hear that, Alice.
So please go follow our campaign. It's really important, especially for the next few weeks. And yeah, with that, I will call it a day. I am going to play a song that was recommended to me by my dear co-host, Kira.
The best co-host, apparently.
Best co-host. And we're going to follow that
up
with
Don't fight over me, lads.
We're going to follow that up with a recommendation from my other dear co-host, Alice, with
Astrid. The second favorite.
So thank you so much, guys. I will see you next week. Please, if you missed today's show, listen on Spotify. And please follow the Instagram at IDKPoliticsUCC. So, yep, I will see you next week, guys. Bye.
Bye.